everybody. It may be a handful of us in here, but we're not among the dead. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
God is worthy of our praise. I was sitting here listening to the songs, and how could anyone not want to worship Jesus? How could anyone not want to love him? When you see the radiance of the Father that had come to the earth, this earth was engulfed in complete darkness from sin. And Jesus, the Son of the living God, penetrated that darkness. And he took and he developed and he created more lights like himself throughout the ages. You know who those lights are? We are. And we are penetrating the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who James later called the Father of Lights. Yes. For he alone is worthy. And last night here, I was so exhausted. I literally didn't know what I was going to come in, trying to count money. And folks, it is not about the money. Deacon Clinton got it right last night, and I wanted to hug him last night. He finally got it right. It's not about making money. It's about serving. Serving for who? Serving for God. Serving for Jesus. We served a lot of people last night. And a lot of people got a chance to feel the love of Christ. You don't have to always preach to people for them to feel the love of Christ. Just be kind and love them like he say love them. And you know, so many people was touched last night by the labor that you all did, packing those bags, preparing everything, and y'all worked me like a dog up and down the street. But you know what? That's what being a son and daughter of Christ is all about, service. Loving him because he loved the Father. What did he come here and do? He came here and he what? He served. He said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? To be a servant, to serve. Okay? And to give his life as a ransom. Now that's pretty huge. All the way from heaven. Now, of all the billions upon trillions of angels, he could have come to serve us. He came himself.
Amen.
Woo! There's nothing greater than that. When God himself decided, look, this is what I'm going to do. Can you imagine how valuable you and I are to the Almighty? That on that fateful night in Bethlehem, that he himself stepped down from heaven. And he became one of us in the form of his son, Jesus. Now, that's something. And you know what? It really must have freaked those angels out in a sense, because they have never seen anything like that. That the Almighty becoming a man. And they pronounced that to mere men that was watching stinky sheep. Okay? And that always blows my mind. And that same son that was born in that stable that night, 30-something years later, we're now looking at his text here, where we're going to be in Matthew. As we close out the glorious appearing of Christ, in chapter 24, starting in verse 36 there, we're going to be taking a look at this son. The glorious of the Father is talking to people in the capital city of Jerusalem, the head of Israel. And not only for the head of Israel, he's talking about the head of the nations. He's talking about people. These things are going to happen. Last week, we talked about a multitude of things. And one of the things that we did not highlight, because the Lord knows what he's doing when he's preaching, right? The Holy Ghost is in control. One of the things that the Lord wants you to understand is this. It's in the message. It's in the text. What are you going to be doing? What is our role? What is the purpose of the church? Okay? What are we going to be doing? What are we to be doing when he returns? And we're going to see this morning, as you all are in the preparation of bringing forth the word of God in play form next week, we're going to get the gospel. Thank you, Miss Vicky. One of the things that we got to be mindful of is that this is not just a bunch of words on a page. This is the living word of God. What does that mean for a man that drives from Georgia, like Mr. Willie? That means that the gospel of Jesus Christ is alive. That means when he come to hear the gospel of Christ, that Jesus himself is acting out his own words. Are you hearing me? That means the spirit of the living God is at work and he's doing something. While we're yet listening, we said, well, this was done nearly 2,000 years ago, yes, with effects of today and tomorrow and the next day and forever. Okay? It is as Jesus is still sitting on the Temple Mount giving this word. And he put in a picture out there for you and I to look at. And he said, look, along this time, this is what's going to happen. Along this period, this period, this period, this period. These things are going to happen. And when they come, you remember that I told you so. And you know what? It must have blew those disciples' mind in AD 70 when the temple was destroyed under Nero's guidance. It must have blew their mind. Because Jesus sat down as they came running back to him. Boy, them were some proud boys. Okay? They were proud of their heritage. The temple was the glory of Israel instead of God being their glory. Hello? We got a problem here in these United States. People think Washington and the Statue of Liberty is the glory of the United States. No, 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 no. God himself is. And his son, Jesus Christ, planted this nation for a purpose. And that purpose is to bring glory to their name, not to us. And look what God allowed this nation to do over the years. And it's such short period in existence. This nation has produced and distributed and sent out Bibles more than any other nation on the earth. And this nation has also raised up by the Holy Ghost more men and women to go on foreign soil and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now look at that word. It looked like if we've never ever known the Father or the Son, rapidly turning away from the things of God. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that these United States have decided that they don't need God anymore. Not all of them. There's still some God-fearing people here. There are still some folks that love the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now, I cannot label everybody in that. That's wrong. But, however, by our laws, as laws are being enacted, people are getting comfortable in their sins. And I heard right here one day, before we go in prayer, I'm going to tell you this. I heard a church association director say, you don't need to remind people about their sins. They already know they're sinners. Are you kidding me? Okay. We don't need you anymore then. We need the gospel of that director. If that's the way we're to live. Because the last time I checked, the living word of God says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is who? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's the gospel. And that Paul even said that it is a known fact that Jesus Christ came and saved sinners. He said, which I'm a chief one. He said, I'm the chief sinner among you. This is Paul saying. Now I can only imagine Sammy Nelson, how I'm viewed. And you can put yourself in that. But without the gospel of Jesus Christ, how could any man know he's saved? How could any man know he's a sinner? Because the hallmark of the gospel is to turn people away from their sins and turn them to who? Jesus. And if they don't know that, how are they going to do it? The gospel of God, given by God, for God. And we have no right to change it. None. So this morning, as we bow our heads, the son that you sing about, let us adore him. He's not a baby anymore. He's sitting on the Temple Mount right now. In this day, these moments of this gospel, coupled with today's time, putting the two together, make him eternity, where the time has no essence with him. Yesterday is the same as today, and today is the same as tomorrow. With him, he's on the Temple Mount 2,000 years ago, teaching these men. And 2,000 years later, at the same time, he's teaching you and me right now. Are you hearing me? This is the glorious Son of God. The seven spirits of God that's gone out into all the earth. I mean, Jesus Christ is the perfection of God. He's everywhere at the same time, knowing the good and the bad. You don't believe me? Read the 15th chapter of Proverbs, the very first verse. Say, behold, the eyes of the Lord has gone out into all the earth, beholding the good and the bad at the same time. That's Jesus. He knows what's going on. Okay? The one, let us adore him. This is the baby who's now a man. He's a man here, but yet he's God there in heaven. That's who we're getting ready to pray to the Father and thank him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your living word. Without it, how can we know where to go? We would be lost, Lord, for your word is our guide and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And your spirit holds us by the hand and he teaches us your word, Lord Jesus. We're forever students of your word, whether it's being preached to us or taught to us, Lord. We're here, Lord, because you have delivered your word to us. And by your word, you have turned our hearts to heaven to know you, the Son of God, and that God, your Father, Father, you had sent him here. And you sent him here to be a covering of our sins, to wash away our sins in his own blood. And you gave him power to lay down his life and power to pick it up again. That's what he did. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that now we are in the area of life where you're now sitting on the Temple Mount, and then you leave there and you go to the Mount of Olives. And there you're telling your disciples about the future and what to expect and what their role is in the here and now for them, as well as for your disciples through them. That's us today in the here and now, what we're to be doing as we wait for your glorious appearing. And Lord, as we look intensely in the heart of your word, we're asking that Holy Spirit open our eyes, our mind of understanding, help us to glimpse into the things of God and give you the glory, Father, because you're worthy. You sent your son into this world and reality is sending yourself. Thank you for that, Lord, and thank you for being here. Have your way with us now, Lord, as you, by your Spirit, speak to us. Because, Lord Jesus, you said, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Holy Ghost, I now decrease so that you can increase. Speak now in Jesus' name to us, the children of God in Christ Jesus. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is a long-awaited revelation. The men of Israel often wondered what the future hold for them, because they had been battered for hundreds of years now, since God removed David from the throne by death, since God moved Solomon. It was under Solomon's leadership that Israel would experience the last portion of their monarchy where they did not have to worry about wars. Because God under King David had subdued the nations around them. So after Solomon's death, Solomon's son, Jeroboam, and the general Rehoboam, they got into confrontation with each other because you had the young listening to the young rather than Solomon's son continue to listen to the senior advisors and know how to rule the kingdom. He decided he wanted to go listen to some young whippersnappers who had no life experience. And they told him to do something that was catastrophic to the nation. That led to the split. 10 tribes in the north said, okay, you all rule yourselves. We rule ourselves. And there a split happened. And that's when you ended up with the northern kingdom, Mr. Willie, and the southern kingdoms. And from there, Israel was never united again. Never. Not until 1948. Wow. That's a long time. And they had been battered and battered. And God had promised along those epochs that he would send a deliverer. And they didn't know what that deliverer was going to look like. On the one instance, the prophet Isaiah says, a virgin shall be with, and you shall call his name what? Emmanuel. Another time, Isaiah, as I read this morning, told us about what he's going to do and what his titles are. Okay? Well, first of all, he said he's wonderful. All right? And we didn't need to know that the Lord is wonderful, right, Mr. Willie? As old and young men and women and boys and girls, we need to understand Jesus is lovely. That's another way to say it. I mean, he would just blow your mind with how great he is. When he walks in, the show is his. Amen. Okay? Everything else stops. That's the first instance Isaiah reminded of. And then the next, he said, he's counselor. Well, what does that mean? In the New Testament, he told you this fancy word. He said the comforter, the parakletos, someone that comes alongside you and comforts you. A counselor will comfort you and advise you in the days of adversity. That's Jesus. You can fall on your knees wherever you are and he will what? He will hear you and answer you. The same prophet would later write, he said, while you're yet praying, I will answer you. That's Jesus, the same one now that's in the Mount of Olives, but about to tell us what to expect. Okay? And so he's wonderful, he's counselor, he's what? He's the Prince of Peace. When all hell is breaking loose, guess who come riding? Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He rides in and he's straightening things out. And you wonder why all of a sudden husband and wives are at odds with one another. One of them said, Jesus. He said, here I am, daughter. And he squelches all of that foolishness between husband and wives. And next thing you know, things are wonderful again between them. Amen? And so the Prince of Peace, he is the one that causes peace to abide in the nations. Okay? That's him. But globally, he haven't done that yet, has he? But he's coming. He's going to do that. And you know what's so wonderful? Is that these men, they know that. They know that now. They thought they knew him when he was here, but they're with him now. Can you imagine what they're experiencing now? The one who wrote this, Matthew, the tax collector, the one who was most hated in Israel. You all aware of that, right? Can you imagine what he's experiencing right now? Where at one time his own countrymen wanted to cut his throat because they seen him as a traitor. Taking taxes for Rome against his own people? Yeah, you betcha they want to get him. Okay? And now here we have it. Lord Jesus, he's really there. He's the Prince of Peace. And then he's what? The mighty God. Wow, what does that mean? That there's no one like him. Okay? That's God himself. That when he speaks, you listen. I listen. And when he says a word, his very words create things and make things happen. The moment he speaks, those things come to life. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus is speaking, the Holy Spirit unfolds those things so men can see them. Some are pleasant, some not so pleasant. I want to remind you of a situation during the time of the prophet Elisha. The king of Syria had sent an army to get him because he had spoken about what he was going to do to Israel by prophecy. He thought Elisha had spied on him. Well, he didn't know that God has given Elisha a word. Elijah spoke to the king of Samaria and said, look, these things are getting ready to happen. Okay? And sure enough, so the king of Syria got word and said, how in the world did they know about our battle plan? God told them. And the man of God spoke it by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, I want y'all to remember this. The same Jesus now, he's in the Mount of Olives. Now, he done equipped Elijah. So the king of Syria is really angry at this man. He told his army, go get him. And Elijah is dwelling in a place, Mr. Willard, called Dothan, the same place where Joseph was sold into slavery. Okay? And so they're there. And they got the city surrounded. Elijah's servant goes outside and he sees this great army surrounding the city that night. And he freaks out. And he says to Elijah, they got the city surrounded. And you know what Elijah does? He says a simple prayer. You can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 6. He says a very simple prayer, Miss Marie. He goes, Lord, I pray, open his eyes so that he can see that your army is greater than their army. And instantly, the Holy Ghost removed the veil from the young servant's eyes, and he's seen in the spirit world. And there, Clinton surrounded the city with thousands upon thousands of chariots of fire, angels ready to destroy the Syrian army. Because they were not going to let them touch the man of God. Woo-hoo, glory to God. Are you sensing that? Jesus, the one who's in the Mount of Olives right now, directed that course to take place. The moment as Elijah asked him, Jesus honored it. And he carried it out. Wow. So now, sometime into the future, they're sitting there, they're having this conversation, and it's been going on for a little bit, because we're at verse 36, and we see that the conversation has been going on, and the Olive Discourse is pretty long. It's a couple of chapters there, and we're at verse 36 part now, and it says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What is he talking about? He's talking about his return. Because you know how people now want to give you a timetable that on this day Jesus is going to return?
No one knows.
I say to you, verse 36 says, if they're telling you that, they're lying. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus has just disclosed to his disciples who are interested in finding out, Lord, when are you coming back? When are these things going to take place? When are you going to appear again? You go, I got some news for you, sons of Israel. Not even the angels of heaven get this information. You mean to tell me the angel that came and told your mama that she was going to have you? No, he's not even privileged. You mean the great warrior that helped that angel in battle, named Michael, is he privileged? No. But what about the angel that served you in the wilderness? What about them? No. And the ones that made the announcement of your birth? No. None. Not one. No creature, not even the 24 elders that are in heaven. Not even them. Now, what about the creatures with all the eyes and the faces? No. Them either. And the saints that are there?
No.
Not one. No one knows. What about Satan? You know, he's the once beloved archangel, the one whom God loved also. No. He'll make you think you know, but he doesn't know. Okay? Are y'all getting that? So, but of that day and hour, and you notice how he made it, Mr. Willie, very specific. Not only did he say the day of the week or the day of the month or the day of the year, he even gave us a time period. He said, not even the hour. No one knows. That's pretty doggone specific, isn't it? No one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Amen. God has told no one. No one. But as the days of Noah were, and this is a part that you all need to be paying attention to, because you want to know, what are we going to be doing? What's going to be going on? What's happening? Well, here's what's happening. And he's given you a very good illustration to look at. He's taking you back to pre-flood time. Okay? But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what does that mean? Listen. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Let's stop there. What does that mean for you and I today?
Life as usual.
Life as usual. We like to say business as usual, Mr. Willie. That means everything is going on the same. We go about our daily lives as if nothing is going to happen. And that's the way they were during the days prior to the flood. People, just a crazy old man building a boat. Who in the world need a boat? And talking about this thing rain. What's that? It never rained on earth. Yeah. And you know what? There are still people marking the prophecies of God. Because those men and women even had their children probably marking Noah. They marked the prophecy of God. And you know what? Until Noah entered the boat. And when Noah entered the boat, what happened? Stop.
God shut the door.
God shut the door, and what happened? You just can't go and say it rained. You got to let God fill in the picture. Then the clouds rolled in. That never happened. All of a sudden, lightning began to flash, and the thunder began to roar. And they go, whoa, what's going on? Got the world's attention, didn't it? And then all of a sudden, Mr. Willie, bloop, 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 bloop. What's that? It's water. So you mean to tell me that man had been crazy all of this time? No. You mean to tell me the words he spoke were words of life? Yes. But you made them words of death. You called him crazy. You're saying no such thing had ever happened on the face of the earth. You're just a mad old man. Imagine When people heard these words from Lord Jesus about what's going to take place, as is the day of Noah, so were people thinking the same thing when these apostles gave this word? And people still today, 2,000 years later, because 2,000 years have elapsed, people are saying, oh no, it's not going to happen. It hadn't happened yet. Okay? One of these days, folks, what's going to happen? Just as the clouds rolled in during the days of Noah, and the thunder flash, the lightning flash and the thunder roll, folks, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to appear on the clouds in glory. There's going to be a great trumpet sound. It's going to get the attention of all humanity, of all creation. So he's giving us a warning here. He's telling you and I, you're going to go about your daily business, but you must not forget, I'm coming back. You must remember daily. It could be today. It could be at lunchtime while you're eating. It could be tonight. Could be early in the morning. You need to know. When God gives a word, he's not going to renege on it. And folks, Noah brought the physical manifestation of God's word to them. He started building an ark, right? They got someone greater than Noah right now. Who is it? It's Jesus. He's sitting there. Out of the mouth of God, they're being told what to expect. Now, this is greater than Noah. And even though, keep in mind now, from the moment that Noah started, it was 100 years to the first raindrop. And people go, whoa, a lot of them probably even died. Yes? Okay? It's been 2,000 years almost for us since this word's gone out. A lot of folks have died. Mm-hmm. And they're gone. So the world is saying, you Christians are just crazy. Guess what? We won't be crazy for much longer. Huh? Yeah. Look what else he tells us. This is the one that you said, let us adore him. As in the days of Noah, he was the one that made it happen. Look at this. Verse 39. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. There it is again. That's two instances he says. Also, it will be when the Son of Man what? Look at it right now. When the Son of Man will be the coming of the Son of Man be. That be, that means it's an action word that is happening right then, to be. It's a to be verb. That means right now. That means right then, Dave. You can be riding your bicycle back to your house, and all of a sudden, there he is. Because we don't know all the things that's been fulfilled in this prophecy. How do we know the gospel hadn't reached all the people that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to reach? We don't know that, do we? So we're trying to cover and put out these markers and tell people, oh, it's going to be here and here. I hear people say, I got time. Yeah.
How do you know?
The young lady last Sunday riding on a motorcycle didn't know that that would be her last ride. Riding out on a leisure ride on a boyfriend, hit a deer, thrown from the motorcycle, and the car behind her hits her, kills her instantly. I talked to that young man last night that was riding the motorcycle with her. And I'm praying that he will get his life right with God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because I know what his life is like. Most importantly, Lord Jesus knows what his life is like. Looking on. verse 40. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. Are you hearing this? Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Clinton, he gave a great analogy there. Two men will be working out in the field. One will be left and the other one taken. What does that mean? One saved and one not saved. Two women will be grinding in the mill, taking the millstone and crushing wheat, making flour. One will stay and the other one will go. Why? One saved and one lost.
Which one goes?
The Lord knows.
The lost or the saved?
The saved goes.
It's a rapture.
And so, two will be lying in bed, husband and wife. One go, other one stays.
I'm going.
Amen, sister. I like that. But you both could go, or both could stay. What he's telling you and I, not everybody's going. Why? Because he got one word there, one phrase there. Will you be ready?
Okay,
he said, be ready. What does that mean? Be saved.
Amen.
Give your life to the Son of God. Tell your friends to give their life to the Son of God. And God doesn't care what you feel about him. He doesn't care what you think about him. You got Jesus. On that day, you're safe. It's a matter of fact. The ark was a symbol of Jesus Christ. It was to save you from the wrath of God. So Noah, God using Noah like this, was a reminder to the Israelites that at any moment God can come. And unless you're in the ark of his safety, and Jesus Christ is the ark of God, unless you're in the ark of safety, in the ark of Christ, you cannot be saved. You will perish just like the rest will, or the rest did in the flood. And folks, millions upon millions of people perished in the flood, along with their babies. Are you hearing me? Some women were pregnant on the earth. Many were pregnant. Some had small babies. Some folks were old. Some were young and vigorous. Died. Because they refused to heed the warning. Can you imagine, Mr. Willie, of all the earth population, only 6 people were saved? That means the entire earth population was bad. Bad enough that God did not spare them. That's a powerful warning. God is sitting and he's telling these men, that's what happened then. This is what's going to happen now. You don't have to be like them back there, because you can be like me now. A son of God, or daughter of God, by trusting me with your life. Because when he comes back, Mr. Willie, the preaching of the gospel is finished. It's done with. When he comes back, he say, "On this, what he's referring to here, that's it. You can't run to the church house and get saved. It's just another building." Okay? This book will be too late for you. It's done with. So now is the time of salvation, says the Lord. Because the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will take place. Whether you are ready or not. And this wonderful baby that you all sung so greatly about this morning is the one who's going to make this happen. And if you notice one thing, the Father has made it all about Him. Hello, somebody. The cross was about you and me, Him coming to save us. That's what the Father wanted Him to do. If you don't believe me, go to John chapter 8, and after reading about the woman caught in adultery, read on about the confrontation that's between the Son and the religious leaders of Israel. And in that confrontation, He tells them why He is here. And while He's still in Jerusalem, in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, as it recorded, He lays it down by calling Himself the Good Shepherd. And He says the Good Shepherd lays His life down for the sheep. Yes. So, now, if you notice where we are in this chapter, in this particular book, we are nearing the end of His time on earth. Are you hearing me? Because shortly after this discourse is over with, we enter into chapter 26. And that's when all hell start breaking loose towards Him. You got to understand the layout of the scriptures. And you need to know what God is doing. The Father is directing this from heaven. He tells you in John chapter 10 that He is not alone. For the Father is with Him. What does that mean? That means wherever the Son is, there is also the Father. Meaning the two are what? One. So when He finished talking to these men, the time is not far away for Him to go to Calvary. Understand the layout of the scriptures. So as He walks them through this, verse 45, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made rule over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." What is He giving a picture of here, Mr. Willie? That's you and me. That means we're in the kingdom working. We are faithful in the things of Christ. We're not slacking like some I hear all the time. I don't need to go to church. Or they make me mad, so I'm staying home. Okay? You work according to your emotions. You don't work according to your dictates of your heart because you love Jesus. You're working because of yourself. And that is not loving Christ. But who here will be found as a faithful servant? No matter what people say to you, no matter what people do to you, or no matter what happens, or even things you do to yourself, you remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. Even when your body's tired, or when your body's sick, or your mind is troubled, you press on anyway. And say, Lord, I'm here because of you. I'm not here because of me. Because if it was for me, I laid in bed and got another hour of sleep. Okay? I went and got something to drink or something to eat. Or just simply take the day off and go fishing. Go do something. If it was for me, right, Mr. Willie? But yet, I'm a faithful servant. That means no matter what's going on, I remain true and faithful to him. And I'm going to carry out his will. I may not have the most extravagant car. You see the van I drive now, right? Glory be to God, I ain't walking. Huh? That's right, I can borrow a horse. Glory to God, I've been on one since a teenager. Or, I don't have the house on a hill with the white picket fence. But you know what? I am happy. And I'm not getting a six-digit figure like some pastors are getting. Okay? But I got something so great. Every time I get to serve Jesus, that deacon got it right last night. He says, all about serving. We make his name known when we serve people. Okay? When folks come in, a gentleman came in the other day needing a light bill paid. He said, my light bill is $600-something. He said, someone said you all can help. I said, I'm sorry, our ministry don't do that. We help in other ways, but that's not one way we help. But I'm here to tell you what I like to do. I like to personally give you some help. So I took from my own personal and gave it to him. Whether he put it on the light bill, that's between him and God. My job is to serve Jesus by serving him. Okay? That's your job. Your job. Okay? That's your job. That's why we're here. So look at this. Very, very wise, the Lord put here. Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So many today, I do what I want to do. I got time to repent. Really. It's a very difficult picture here. It's telling you and I that if you name the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you and I must be about our Father's business. We can't be slothful. We can't be slumbering. We must be vigorously working. We must be vigorously engaged in kingdom work. Not work that's going to bring attention to ourselves, but work that brings attention to who? To him. Okay? And we can say all we want to, how we love Jesus, but if the works don't show that, we fall into this category. Because the servant was already in the house. Did you notice that? Because he got there by his profession of faith and not by his works. Because the scripture says here that his works were what? Evil. He jumped on. In other words, he was hindering the work of the kingdom when he jumped on his fellow workers. Did he not? That's hindering kingdom work. How many times, Mr. Willie, you've been around a long time, that you've seen people in the church hinder the works of the church because things don't go their way? There's a price to pay for that. They get mad at the pastor, they get mad at the deacon, they get mad at the choir director, they get mad at this one, they get mad at that one because things don't go their way. So they hinder the works. They intentionally interfere with it, knowing that they have the means, the gifts of the Holy Ghost to help that work go smoothly, okay? Yet they throw stumbling blocks out there because it's not their works. The attention is not coming in. They didn't plan it. They're not sitting on the head of it. No. How many times have I told you all here, Shirley? How many times, Tamara, have I told you all, and Ms. Vicky? I said, you make the decision. Huh? How many times have y'all heard me say that, Deke? You make the decision.
So many.
Now, if I find that it's really something we don't need to be doing, then I'll step up and say, I don't think we really need to do this, or maybe we need to relook this. Right? Or sometimes you all come to me and say, well, Pastor, I think we may have another option. Okay, let's look. That's the Holy Ghost at work. It's called union. The Spirit, okay, it's called union. That means we're one. Working together. How do you think those folks on the day of Pentecost, how do you think the Holy Ghost come in and touch them all? If they would have been in there fussing and fighting, no, my way, no, this way, no, that way. You think he would have come in that upper room? The Word of God says they were all what? One accord. That means they was in union with one another. Not fussing and fighting. They were in agreement. Okay? With the things of God. So, that's what the Holy Spirit wants here. Us to be in union with the Word of God, with the things of God, with the things of Jesus. Okay? And not plucking out his beard. Now, to God be the glory. As we get ready to close this out, next week, we're going to look at the absolute greatness of God's Son. He's been showing us this all along. Because I don't know if we'll even finish this glorious appearing, chapter 25. But next week we won't. We may pick it up the last Sunday of the month and finish it. But I like to start the new year off, as the Spirit laid on my heart earlier today, to start a teaching series or sermon series in the book of Acts. We really get to look at the apostles putting all that which the Lord Jesus Christ had taught them and what the Spirit has filled them with, those gifts and all. You get to see them carry it out. That's why I call it the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Or another way to say it, the actions of the apostles. Okay? So we're going to take a look at that because that's our model. For this upcoming year, we're going to be looking, we're going to be going through that. And we're going to see how they did church. Okay? How they did the things of God in Christ. What Jesus directed them to do. And you're going to see some things happen. You really are. You're going to see some things that's going to go, whoa, look at God. Another thing going to go, whoa, 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 Lord, please don't let that happen to me. Okay? I'm telling you. As Paul said, it's a bad thing for a man to fall in the hand of God who's angry. Who can stand? But at the same time, when Jesus is pleased with you, who can mess with you? Amen? Because he told through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, he said, we're his workmanship. Created for what? Good works. Amen? That means you can do some good stuff. Because God said so. He created you, Zor, to do good works. You weren't created to do bad stuff. Because God, look at the, how many times you walk out your door at night and you look up at the universe and go, wow, look at that.
Beautiful.
And that great works, that's the work of the master.
And now, twinkle.
Yes. But can you imagine now Jesus has created you greater than the stars? So if those stars can bring forth such extravagant works for the Lord, how much greater works can you bring forth? That's why in Jesus' very early sermon, he said, you're that lighthouse that sits up on a hill. Okay? So that everybody can see that good work you're doing, Mr. Willie. They know, oh, God said, that's my boy. That's my son. That's my son, Willie, right? Look what he's doing. That's my daughter, Tamara. Look. And the angels go, yeah. Woo, look at that. And Miss Vicky, when she get to play, and Gabriel said, slide over, sister, I'm going to play with you. Glory to God. Just a little bit of Sammy Nelson drama. But are y'all understanding that we were created for Christ Jesus for good works? Okay? So that means my secretary better go back to Jesus and say, what I need to learn. Cheap shot. All right. More serious. What a joy that the Son of God takes his time with these men. I do believe one of his attributes, as Isaiah says, is counselor, right? Am I right? I'm going to counsel them throughout the church. So, here we have it. He's getting ready to take them to the next phase. Chapter 25 of Matthew is the next phase. He has been talking to them in parables now in chapter 24 up to a certain point. Chapter 25, it's hands-on time, Mr. Willie. You know how you have your classroom instruction? And then comes the little walk-you-through part. And then say, okay, boys, go get them. My daughters, go do it. All right? Well, we just had our classroom instructions from the Lord. Chapter 25 said, take your butt to work. Or am I supposed to say that?
Okay.
Too late is out there. But it's saying go to work, church. I know the hour's time, Mr. Willie, it's time to go home. It's lunchtime. But I'm going to close this out. It's time for the body of Christ to quit monkeying around. And I don't care how old or how young you are, it's time to go to work for Jesus. Okay? Mr. Willie, on your way home, if you got to stop and get gas, share Jesus with the person at the gas station that's working. Okay? If you got to go to the post office and mail a box to your babies in Texas or the ones in Tennessee, and you say to the clerk, do you know Jesus? That's working. Are y'all hearing me? Or if you need to take food to a homeless lady on a corner down there and say, in the name of Jesus, here's a meal.
She knows them.
That's working.
She knows them.
Okay? If you're on the color guard team or whatever it is that you do in high school and you share Jesus with one of those classmates, that's working, even at your age. Because she didn't put an age there about who is supposed to be watching and waiting and who's supposed to be working and who's not, did he? But if you belong to him, you're supposed to be working. And not only working, but simultaneously waiting and watching. Your boss walked by a moment ago. He waved. That's when I waved. Your big boss. He's a man of God. He loved the Lord. I know he does. But he too must be watching and waiting while he's running Dollar General. And part of the work that he has to do when y'all frustrate him, he may be in his office praying for you. Or praying for the operation of the company, that God will somehow cause it to prosper. That's watching and waiting. At the same time working. The 3 W. Watch, wait, and work. And we'll throw a fourth one in there that covers them all. What do you think the fourth one need to be? The fourth W.
Witness.
W.
Witness.
Say it again. Worship. Watch. Wait. Work. And worship. That covers it all, right? You betcha. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, I don't know where your sons and daughter here stands with you. But you do, Lord Jesus. And I'm praying, Lord, that whatever, if there's even a conflict in their hearts about what it is that they're supposed to be doing for you, I ask, dear Jesus, that you help them to resolve it. And that you would strengthen them by Holy Ghost to go out to watch, wait, work, and worship you. So that this world, that you will gain other sons and daughters out of that world of darkness out there. And that you will bring them into your marvelous light, your eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God. I pray now, Lord, that everyone here is speaking to you. I pray now, I'm asking them to do something. I'm going to ask you all right now to make sure you're saved right now. You know whether or not you've been playing with God. You know whether or not you have truly accepted Jesus. I want you to have your salvation sure right now. Whether you're Zora's age or Mr. Willie's age or Deacon age in the back, it doesn't matter. I want you right now, wherever you are in this building, to say to Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I belong to you. Because the scripture says that he knows his sheep and his sheep knows his voice. I mean, we know him too. So can you honestly say right now, if Lord Jesus appears, can you honestly say in your heart right now, Lord Jesus, I belong to you because you know me and I know you. If you're not sure of that, please don't leave this place without knowing. Will you allow Holy Spirit to move your heart right now? We will pray with you. It's nothing. We're all family. But family, don't let family go to hell. We share the gospel. We pray and we plead. But we can't make you do it. We can only encourage you. So while I'm praying, you make sure things are right with Jesus. Because he makes sure things are right with you. Lord Jesus, none of us can save ourselves. But we're so glad that Father sent you. And Lord, I have followed the dictates of the Holy Spirit. And I've come to you just as he led me. And I've surrendered my life to you. And I know I haven't been living right all these years, but I know I still belong to you. And you, Lord, have taken away my sin. You have taken away my faults, my shortcomings, and you have made my life complete in you. And so I depend on you, Lord Jesus, on the day of judgment, that I won't be judged for salvation or wrath. I'll be judged because of works, and I'm your son. I'm your daughter. And I thank you, Lord, that you gave up your life for my life. And I'm praying, Lord, that you would help me share your lovely gospel with those around me, whether family or friend or stranger. Will you empower me by the Holy Spirit to do that? Now, Lord, thank you. Have your way, glorious Father. and glorify your Son with the glory you two had before the world was. And Lord Jesus, glorify your Father. It is in your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on up. I don't know which one of your deacons is going to close out. But to God be the glory. Jesus is Lord. Okay.
Thank you, Father. We come before you in Jesus' name, Lord, thanking you for the word, Lord, for teaching us and preparing us for that final day, Lord, that we should continue to be working and doing your works. Be with us, Lord. Help us to touch those that are in need and need to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.